Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show on a really beautiful day in Chicago. And as you know, the Cubs won a long ball game last night. They're away, and the White Sox are at home, and the Bears will be at home tomorrow in a big game. So a lot of sports excitement on the weekend. Speaking of the Bears, our guest today is going to be Ronnie Bull. He's a great football player in college and in the pros. So we'll have a lot of football to talk about with Ronnie, and he'll be our guest in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have Ronnie Bull as our guest today at Northwest Federal. He was a fine football player. He looks like he could go out and play with the Bears right today. Boy, Ronnie, you look in great shape.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's one thing that most of us old football players have got to look out for is after you get through playing is gain a lot of weight. And I've tried to keep myself in pretty good playing condition. I still use the words playing conditions that football players use. As far as trying to go back out there and play again, the invitation might be great, but I'd have to refuse it.
What are your some of the things you think about when you watch the games now on Sunday? Has the game changed?
I don't think the game has really changed that much, Bob, from the time that I played. I think the players may be a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, but the philosophy of the game is still pretty much the same. It's the blocking, the tackling, and the one team that executes the best is the team that's going to win offensively and defensively.
Well, you played for what coaches?
Well, I played most of my career under George Hollis. He was the coach from the time I started in 1962 up and through 67, and then I played with Jim Dooley with him up until 1970, and then I spent my last year at Philadelphia under Williams. He was there the 1 year. I've got a soft spot in my heart for Philadelphia. They gave me the opportunity to get my 10th year. It had nothing really to do with the pension plan, although they talk about 5 and 10 year increments. It was just a personal goal that I wanted. I wanted to play 10 years, and Philadelphia gave me that opportunity.
What do you recall about some of the football philosophies of George Hollis, guy that we're all very fond of?
Well, his was a basic philosophy, is not making a lot of mistakes and taking advantage of the mistakes that the other teams made. He was not one that really liked a wide-open type of offense. When I came up, he geared a lot of his philosophy to that of the Green Bay Packers. They were going to beat you with execution. There was nothing fancy. He was not one that liked to throw the long ball. In fact, he got up and made a big to-do about throwing the long ball. He says those are 10-percenters. He liked those 85-percenters, which were the 10- or 15-yard passes. He liked that the best.
Were those, when you're talking about Green Bay, were those the Lambeau years?
Well, they were Lambeau years, and then they went to Lombardi years. When I came in at 59, 60, 61, Green Bay was, that was title town. That's really where they got their idea of the title town. And I can recall Hollis feeling if he could beat Green Bay, we had a chance to win it. And in fact, 1963, from the time that we went into training camp, that's all we talked about because that was our opening game. That was why I was so excited about this year. I thought this year might be the same as it was in 63. If they could beat the Packers that first game, it would get them off to a great start because that's all we talked about was the Packers, how we could defeat the Packers offensively and defensively. And we did it in 1963, and as a result, we ended up winning the championship.
Well, that was a great year, wasn't it? Well, that was the last championship for the Bears?
That was the last championship that they've had in Chicago, Bob, in any sport, not only for the Bears in 1963. We came close in 1968 of winning the division, and Green Bay, again, our old nemesis, beat us 27-28 that year that had the chance. But other than that, up until that time, that was the last championship team they've had.
The Green Bay situation has been a wonderful rivalry, hasn't it?
It has.
And a friendly one.
Well, it's friendly from the time before the whistle blows and the gun goes off, and then it becomes very unfriendly. I've had a lot of confrontations with a lot of different players from Green Bay because we would see a lot of each other more on during the off season. Became good friends with a lot of things, but when we got on the field, it was probably some of the toughest games that I've ever been in was against the Green Bay Packers.
How would you say that the Hollis approach and the Lambeau approach to the game differed, if it did?
Well, I don't really think it really differed that much. The one thing that Hallis did is he had a system that he believed worked, and he stayed with it. He wouldn't even change a lot of the terminology and stuff that he used back in the early beginnings of the team. We still used back when I was playing in 63. I think they've changed it somewhat now. They've simplified it, but he had a somewhat complicated system. The only thing that I think Hallis did and was very successful at it, and I think you can see that success because of what George Allen did. George Allen took the same philosophy that Hallis did and took and became a very successful coach, and that was not leaving anything unanswered. Answered all the questions, tried to cover every little situation that might happen on a field and try to cover that offensively and defensively, where if that situation came up, you knew how to handle it. And that was his philosophy. We didn't do a lot of hitting during the training season. Most of ours was review and repeat, going over different situations that you might run into or something that might have happened the year before to cover every known situation that you might have so that when it did come up, you were able to take advantage of it.
Who was in that backfield with you?
When I first came up, I was in the backfield with Rick Caceres. He was the fullback. Willie Gallimore and I were the running backs. And then I graduated into the years of Gail Sayers. I was Gail Sayers' blocking back all the great years that he was there. And then when Gail got hurt in 1968, Brian Piccolo and I were running mates together. So I graduated into two great eras. Rick Caceres was probably one of the greatest fullbacks that I think that came into the game. Regardless of how he felt or what condition his body was in, when it came Sunday, he gave you 100%.
The Bears have a halfback now that's pretty much like the back halfback you had running for you.
Well, it's funny. A lot of people have compared Walter Payton with Gale Sayers, and everyone feels that they're somewhat alike. They're both exciting runners. Again, I'm prejudiced. I think Gale Sayers was probably one of the finest running backs that ever came through the game. They're really two different types of runners. I think Gale is faster than Walter is, but Walter, I think, is stronger than Gale was. You know, you look at Walter and you say, well, just a little shoulder, tap will knock this guy down, but he's so strong and has so much agility that he'll pop right back and keep right on going. He's a strong runner. He's a very determined runner. One of the things that I think that you see now that you didn't see with Gale is that Walter will block. And I'm not saying that Gale wouldn't block. They just told Gale he didn't have to block. All he had to do was run with the ball, and he took them literally, and that's all he did, and he did a good job at it. The other thing was that Gale, they used Gale more on punts and kick returns, which they don't do with Walter. They use him strictly offensively. And I think that they're maybe not taking some full advantage of Walter. I think he could break a lot of games open because Gale did break a lot of games open. A team would come and score and go ahead of us. They'd kick off. Gale would take that ball and go 90 yards and break their back just with that part of his game. And I think that was an intricate part of his game that's not used by Walter. The other is that I think they should throw the ball, pass the ball more to Walter. You know, they say going around the end run. Well, this is somewhat like a short pass in the flat is like somewhat like an end run. It just gets him around the corner a little bit faster. And I think this is one area that they should possibly use Walter a little bit more as.
Our guest today at Northwest Federal, and we're delighted to have him, is Ronnie Bull, former professional football star and a real nice guy, and we're delighted to have him here today. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're delighted to have Ronnie Bull as our guest here today, former outstanding football player and a real good one. He and I, when we were off the air just now during the commercial, were talking about a guy that's been a great favorite of mine for years, and that's Bart Starr.
Bob, I feel the same way that you do. You know, Bart Starr was right in the heyday of his career when I was a rookie in 1962 with the Chicago Bears. That was a great rivalry then. It's still a great rivalry now. You know, he was a real student of Vince Lombardi. Bart Starr, I think the fans in Green Bay are being very unfair to Bart. Bart's a winner. I think the biggest problem is that fans as a whole become very impatient. They like to win. They don't understand a lot of the things that happen that make it almost impossible. And if you go back over Bart's record the last two or three years, and you don't like to use injuries as an excuse, but if you look, he's had a lot of his top-notch players hurt. And I've always said if you don't have the horses up there, you're not going to win much of anything. Bart surrounds himself with a good coaching staff, and I think all his philosophy comes from Vince Lombardi. I wish him well. I hope he has a real good season this year, except for one game when they play Chicago. But other than that, I do wish him well because I think not only is he a great individual, but he's, I think, a very good coach.
Yeah, I feel the same way you do. He's just a wonderful person and a real asset to professional football. I asked you before about the changes in the game. People ask me about baseball. Has the game changed? Well, four balls is a walk, three strikes is out, so on and so forth. It's practically the same thing, and it's pretty much that way with football, except, well, some formation.
Well, the formations and everything, you know, they're going back to a portion of the A, or what they'd call the next step to the single wing in the short punt formation. I think football runs in cycles. You know, it was the single wing before they invented the T, and the T, they got the different variations, and now it's the I. I think you'll see somewhere along in the years to come the T formation come back. I think it runs in cycles. It'll be maybe a slight variation, but it'll be pretty much the same. The game, football, is still the same. It's blocking and tackling. It's offense and defense. I think one of the big changes that has been made in the game today is artificial turf. The training programs are much different today. They start training a young fella in junior high and high school with weights. They're much more adverse now of the mechanics, the muscle structure of the body, and they work on that. I think the players overall may not be as strong, but they keep that strength up. You know, as you go through the season, when you first start the season, you're much stronger at the beginning of the season than you are at the end because, you know, you got the attrition there and you don't work on the weights and stuff. Well, now they've got the programs where they have these weight programs that go right straight through the season, and they do this through weight coaches. Almost every team now has a weight coach, a person that sees that the players stay on some type of program to keep that strength up. And I think that's the biggest part of the game. The guys that was one of the things I think surprised me more than anything. When I came up here, all the players were fast. The guards and tackles were all fast. You might run up against I played against Bob Lilly, and I thought he was a defensive tackle, was one of the greatest men that there was defensively. But he was the only fast, real fast lineman they had on the team. You know, you get past him, but up here they were all fast, and they were all big. I think we had as big of players then as they had. And they talk about Too Tall Jones now. We had Doug Atkins, which was 6'8 and 260 pounds. The big difference was that Doug Atkins was all natural strength. If he had worked with the weights and things that Too Tall and some of the guys have today, he might still be playing today. That's the type of – he was a good natural athlete.
Ronnie, you remember Rockne, of course, in Notre Dame. He used the T. But he used the shift with it.
Yeah, that again, what has happened is that each team now will take a variation off of the T. It's basically the T formation, but someone will come up with something a little bit different. I think what you'll find, Bob, is that somewhere along the line that someone will take some variation of his T, as Newt Rockne had it back in that time, and make a slight variation off of it to give it a slightly different change or a different perspective of what they can do offensively. There's not a lot of different things that you can do. Just like, you know, when somebody takes the ball, you've got to have somebody to tackle him, or somebody to run with the ball, or somebody to block. It's blocking, tackling, offense, and defense. It's just a slight variation that may confuse the defense if you're on offense, or offense on your defense. I think one of the big things now that you find is the complexity of your defenses. The different, you know, the defenses now have just as many plays as they do offensively. It's used to defense was just a reaction to what the offense did. Now it's somewhat that the defense tries to dictate to the offense what they can do.
The man who's calling the defensive signals, how much time does he have?
Well, he has the same amount of time that possibly as the offensive does. What they do most of the time is they get these signals from the sideline, just like most of your offensive teams do. And again, their plays call to the down situation. It's become a very intricate game. now that, you know, in certain areas of the field, whether it be right hash mark, left hash mark, whether it's a second long, second short, that it will dictate what type of play. And I think the thing that's helped this, and I'm going to get off a little bit, is your computers. And now they can take tendency, game tendency. What's a team going to do in a situation like that where they're on their right hash mark and it's second long, whereas it is second short, and the tendencies come up that say a team is in that situation, they throw to the weak side or the short side of the field. Well, so what are you going to do? You're going to set up a defense that's going to combat their favorite thing in that situation, and that's what an offensive defensive team does, that they call plays to counteract what the strongest play in that situation that the offense has.
As an outstanding football player yourself, when you're watching a pro game, how many times can you anticipate what kind of a play they're going to run?
Well, I joke about it a lot, but you can pretty well anticipate what the Bears are going to do. It's going to be Peyton off tackle, Peyton around in, an incomplete pass, and a punt. I'm just giving everybody the rest, but you can if you get into the game. What I'd like to do a lot of times, though, is really not watch so much the ball players, but I watch a lot of other things going, like the tackle or an end, what he is doing on a particular, or the center, or sometimes on defense. I'll watch the middle linebacker and not even know where the ball is to see what kind of reaction that he does to certain plays. I think you'll find that with a lot of true football fans, they don't watch the ball all the time, and that's one of the disadvantages of having to watch it on television, is that they follow the ball all the time. There's a lot of things that goes on that field that a lot of people miss because they're watching the ball. That's one of the things that I enjoy watching when I go to a game, is I'll pick out one or two players and I'll follow them through maybe a quarter just to see what the reaction is. You know, like you watch Raymond Berry used to be one of the best. He would work on a guy a whole quarter, set him up for a certain type of pass pattern that he wanted to run, and then he would tell the quarterback about it, and sure enough, bang, he'd get it worked. But you don't see this on television. You have to be there and watch a guy work on or set somebody up for something like this. And that's
Lonnie, what are you doing today?
Bob, I work for a company called Unlimited Printing and System. Our business is in the printing business. In fact, one of the reasons that I came with the Bears, Unlimited Printing, is that we print the Bears football tickets. But basically what we are is a business forms company. We've been Continuous and Snap Forms.
It's a great company. I've heard of it.
Yes, I enjoy working. They're good people to work for, and we have a lot of fun.
Ronnie, thanks so much for being with us today. Lots and lots of luck to you.
Well, thank you, Bob, for having me.
Stay really healthy. Boy, you look like a health man here today.
Well, thank you.
Our guest today, and we've been delighted to have him, a former football great, Ronnie Bull. Hope you have a nice day and a nice weekend. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.